This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Hey, Payne and Pendergast with you. We're giving away rodeo tickets this hour. Be listening to that. Here's our big programming announcement. We just got back from the Super Bowl, so we just got done with one road trip. Good times had by all, I think, in New Orleans. The whole crew not coming on this one, but if you recall, a couple years ago, Seth, you and I, and Adam Spillane and our boss Parker got on a plane and we flew to West Palm Beach.
Yay!
And we covered Astros spring training, the first week of games. We covered it and gave the listeners an immersive experience of what it was like to be at spring training. I would submit there are way more things to keep an eye on from an intrigue standpoint this season than there were 2 years ago with this team. And so, therefore, Payne and Pendergast are on our way back to Astros spring training, baby.
It's going to be a good time. It's going to be fun, man.
Yep.
I'm as excited as I've been about a spring training in a long time for the Astros.
It's very intriguing
because the world's aligned against us, Sean.
Yeah,
the world wants to tell us that, oh no, the Astros farm system, bunch of bums. Ah, Altuve, he can't play left field. All this nonsense.
Yes.
And we need to go and tell everybody that everything's going to be just fine.
We will lay eyes on it for everybody, man. We're going to be the eyes and ears for all of you at spring training. Now, we're heading down. It's the last week of the month we're going down there. So we're headed down there on Sunday, the 23rd of February. And then we will be there that entire week, Monday through Friday. We will be there. We'll be staying at an Airbnb, I believe, in Fort Lauderdale. I don't think we're in West Palm again. I think we're going to have a little longer commute to the ballpark. But our Airbnb looks amazing. I don't know if the people care about us having luxurious accommodations, but
yeah,
we got a nice pool in the backyard. We got a nice little sitting area in the backyard. We don't have to share our pool like we did last time we went 2 years ago. Remember that? And we had to share it with the people that were in like a guest house. This is all ours.
There was a 65-year-old Russian woman who I'm pretty sure was trying to seduce me.
Yeah.
And I almost succumbed to it just for the sake of content.
Right.
But Brandy shot it down.
You'll have to go out and find your own 65-year-old Russian woman. She's not just going to be sitting right there for you this time.
She was my 65-year-old Russian woman, and I was her... her compromise in terms of her pool boy fantasy.
That's right, man.
I was out there drinking a beer in the pool, and she came out and was like, I guess he'll do. We won't get any of that this time around.
You even went out and bought the equipment and the outfit to play out the full pool boy fantasy. You got the kind of the shorts that come down the like right around the knees, the tight golf shirt. You got a net that you're swathing through the water with, pulling leaves out. And then she comes out there.
Pool skimmer, Sean.
Pool scissor, pool skimmer. Yeah. Pool skimmer. I call it a big thing that you skim leaves with. We're excited about this. Hopefully you guys are excited about it as well. Headed there for the whole week. There's games all week that week, so looking forward to that. The things I am most looking forward to seeing, Seth, you touched on a couple of them, but I'll hit them here again. this Altuve left field thing, that's number one on my list right now. I want to watch Jose Altuve play left field. I hear he's having fun doing it. It's what Dana Brown said. It looks like he's
right.
having fun.
We've seen clips of him out there at Minute Maid Park messing around, and but now we'll probably get to see him doing it in a game.
Games.
It'll be fun.
Yeah, yeah. So that's number one. Excited to see the new faces, primarily among those, Christian Walker and Isak Paredes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to seeing both of them. Seeing what the last time we went to spring training, there was a new first baseman for the Astros, and his name was Jose Abreu. My hope is that this three-year, $60 million contract works out better than that three-year, $60-ish million contract.
And Abreu was, I mean, Abreu, it was cool because Abreu was actually out there doing work and everything.
He was.
Abreu, to his credit, was a guy that just, he wanted to get as many reps as possible.
Yes.
To get ready to do whatever the hell it was he did that year. But it was, as far as like veteran guys that could have an ego or anything, he was the opposite of that.
Yep.
So I enjoyed getting the first look at him.
I did too. You know, Walker's a Gold Glover, so we'll be watching him obviously through kind of a different lens than we did Abreu back then. But yeah.
But then some of the younger guys too. Last year was nice because we got a sneak preview of guys like Zach DiZenzo, and that you just see now with a little bit of major league experience, where are they in the process and how are they adapting?
Yeah, he might be their left fielder as of right now. The take the next step guys. I'm looking forward to seeing like Hunter Brown going from a, you know, genuinely really good pitcher from May on last year to possibly being the ace of this staff for the next several years. Spencer Arrighetti, who had some really, really good outings and some bad stinker outings, like him kind of getting a little bit more consistent and becoming like a solid three or four in this rotation behind Fromber and Hunter. And the third one for me, like take the next step guy, would be Yiner, who, you know, took the next step last year to being an everyday player, but being a guy who's like, he's probably going to bat cleanup in this lineup.
Yeah.
You know, getting to be a guy who is truly like a dangerous, fearsome kind of hit. Nobody's going to be Yordan, but honestly, just a good enough bat where you feel good about putting him behind Yordan in the lineup. You know,
you know, the fun thing about taking in spring training with you is that you refuse to listen to anybody and everybody when they tell you not to overreact to pitcher performances during spring training.
Yeah.
If a guy is out there and he's specifically working on his slider and he gets shelled because of it, you will act like the world is falling apart.
Yeah.
And I invite you to act that way during spring training.
I will, if you like it.
I want you to be booing Hunter Brown first time he lets up a base hit.
Why is it that every time something begins, the fun thing about doing .. with you, I'm like, I'm bracing myself. Like, what is it? What is
no, you've, no, we have fun with that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For
no,
sure.
No, we have fun with it. And then the extra fun part about it is that no matter how many times you say, we're just joking, somebody just tuning in hears you flipping out about a pitcher performance and they have to educate you about baseball at that point.
Oh, yeah, I love
Sean,
that.
Sean, you don't know baseball.
You don't know
all right?
ball, man.
This is spring training. You don't overreact to that stuff.
You don't know ball is my favorite. Resurrect.
We also might be there when we get news about Alex Bregman.
If we're putting the over under at news on Alex Bregman at us landing in Florida,
I'm not putting it the over under. I'm saying we might.
Yeah. I'd be shocked. This thing sounds like it's getting done soon. The reports, like the reports are, it's the Cubs, it's the Tigers, and the Red Sox, and they all have multi-year offers out to him, I think, or at least a couple of them do. And the Buster Olney said that he expects this thing to end, and he made it sound like the Astros are out of this thing, which sounds, that part sounds right to me. I think the Astros are out.
All right, I'm looking at the...
real quick, that would be amazing if it was still going when we got there. That would be awesome for us.
You know what, I'm looking at the games that are on TV through the first couple weeks. Nationals, Cardinals, Mets, Yankees, Marlins, Mets, Cardinals, Nationals, Marlins.
These are all their opponents, is what you're saying?
Yeah, so probably not going to get to see Alex Bregman go out there for a spring training game and get lustily booed for abandoning his team in a time of need.
Lustily booed by a bunch of people in Florida in a park with 1,000 people in it. Yeah, that would be awesome. But to your point, Seth, is there a chance this thing drags on a couple weeks? Sure. That would be awesome if it did, because you and I would be down there in the clubhouse getting reaction to the signing from his now former teammates at that point.
Yeah.
You know, like that
Unless
would be.
Yeah, I'm not ruling the Astros out just because the. Who knows, Sean?
Yeah.
It's a big black box of nothingness right now. You don't know exactly how all this is, whether they'd up their offer, would they be willing to up it again? Who knows?
We'll see. Yeah. The other group of guys I'm looking forward to seeing down there, like I'll call them resurrection guys. Like Chaz, I think if this is going to be the outfield, Chaz needs to start hitting like 2023 Chaz again if this team's going to compete at a high level. I think they can win the division with a janky outfield. They had their best stretch last season with Kyle Tucker out for 3 months. Like they won the division and then Kyle Tucker was not on the field for 3 months. So they can win the division again with this outfield. I don't think they can win a World Series with this outfield unless, you know, unless Chaz turns into, you know, a 23 home run, 80 RBI, 800 OPS guy again. And then all of a sudden you have a bat that you weren't expecting in the lineup there. I'm anxious to see, too, Seth, how all these arm surgery guys are treated during spring training. Do we get to see any of these guys at all? Like even just throwing off to the side or, you know, the
all like, the extra work's done on those auxiliary fields. It feels like there's 29 extra fields out there, so probably not.
I don't even know if we're allowed to go watch them over
no,
on those fields.
No, I don't know. Yeah, like they're way off in the distance. So it's incredible. It's a really cool facility down there. If you've never been, it's a good time. Like it's done so well that even if you weren't huge into spring training, you would still enjoy yourself. And it's like the perfect time of year for the climate is not too hot.
Yeah.
It just, it feels nice. It feels right.
It's going to be fun. We're going to have a good time. And we'll be, doing the show 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. We're doing it every day from the Airbnb and then headed out to the yard. Should be good.
Oh, the Astros do play the Blue Jays on March 10th. So we wouldn't be down there.
We wouldn't be there for that one, no.
But that might be an Alex Bregman.
So who do they play again the week that we're there, that first week? It sounded like
the week that we're there, there's a couple of games that are split games, you know, where they've got two games going on the same day.
Right.
So we get there the 26th?
The 23rd is a Sunday we get there. So we
I'll figure that out before I go to the airport. So starting on the 24th, they play the Marlins.
Okay.
The Mets.
Okay.
Then the Nationals.
Right.
Those are in the first 3 days because it's a split game.
And then we're probably not going Friday because that's our getaway day. We're flying home. Yeah.
So then they play the Mets and the Cardinals again
on that Friday. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. A lot of people weighing in on the text page. Good morning, guys. Really think Altuve is a huge mistake in left field. His arm's not strong enough, and his short size is a handicap for snagging balls just over the wall. Okay. Nobody's jumping up and robbing home runs in left field at Minute Maid Park.
In the Crawford boxes.
Yeah.
To be fair, they don't play. I'm no baseball expert. They don't play all their games at Minute Maid.
They don't.
So there's that.
Yeah.
The whole thing about Altuve's height is that every single thing you can say about his height being a problem in left field is also a problem at playing second base.
In every position.
Like, yeah, it's just like that's his height is what it is. Yeah. Bulletin, the news alert, he's short.
Yeah.
So I'm not as worried about that. The arm size, I can't remember who was talking about this, but he made some really good points. Is that for one, you actually get the load up.
It was Dana Brown,
right, yeah. And then I don't think he mentioned it, but it's a more – oh, yeah, he did also the over-the-top delivery. Like, it's not the same challenges necessarily, nor the same frequency as playing in the infield.
Yeah.
So I do feel better about that.
Yeah.
That's not as much of a concern as it was for me the first couple weeks I was trying to process it.
Yeah, I agree with you. Dana Brown calmed me down on that. It's still a concern just because I don't think he has a strong arm, but it's not – I mean, people are making it sound like he's going to be rolling it back into the infield.
Well, plus,
or something.
Like, let's not act like Yordan is out there in left field, like running towards the wall and then using his right foot to vault himself up and to make an athletic catch with all of his length in left field.
Actually, he throws his body around a little more than I'd like.
A little too much.
Yeah, and I would say the same thing about Altuve. Like, he's not getting any younger. I don't need him slamming into walls out there.
I just need him to get comfortable with that little left center nook out there in Minute Maid.
Yeah, where it juts out there. Yeah.
He could go hide in the shadows. Nobody would ever find
Where
him.
Where did he go?
Yeah.
Okay, there's some of you that are texting in saying what you wish the programming announcement was. Stop being mean, all right?
What's the meanest
they just
one?
Wait, you know, they wish
that
there were
like
some tweets.
Oh, like you and I lost our jobs or
no,
something?
No, no. Well, similar, but not us.
Oh. Well, read them off.
Be a good teammate. I feel like even mentioning those texts makes me a bad teammate.
This is one of the biggest positive receptions we got from the Radio Row was just how much people enjoyed seeing us on social media, all having a good time as a group. And
we have a good group, man. Like that was real. Like that was that. Like that. This was the funnest group that I've done a Super Bowl with. And I think
there's more pressure now though because we had a dozen people there to provide social media content. Now it's going to be Parker, our boss,
for the Astros
Spillane,
trip.
You yeah. and me.
Oh yeah.
And, like, last time, the most fun we had on the social media side of things was Sean being terrified of falling pineapples.
Those coconuts.
Falling coconuts.
Yeah, yeah. In the front yard.
Dude, Sean never realized. I guess, was that the first time you had realized just like that there are actual coconuts and they fall from trees in Florida? Did it seem like that's something that only happens in the movies or something?
No, I was just nervous. No, I knew it happened. I was just nervous because I like to smoke a cigar standing in the front yard or if I talk on the phone, I go outside. And I was just worried I would forget they were up there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that. So, no, I was aware of how the flora of the coconut tree worked. But I was just nervous that my forgetfulness would set in and I'd wind up concussed with a coconut.
Some sources claim that around 150 people per year are killed by falling coconuts.
Thank you. Thank you.
According to the internet, that number is likely exaggerated. The claim was popularized by these damn shark people, the shark experts, who always want to point out that you're more likely to be killed by this or that than a shark, right? Because I'm not swimming in the ocean 365 days a year.
Correct. Yeah.
If I'm living in Florida and I'm walking underneath coconut trees every day, yeah, I'll be more worried about falling coconuts than sharks.
That's right. That's right.
So that was it was some bogus shark expert that created that claim.
I didn't check to see if our Airbnb we're in this year has coconut trees in the front yard, but rest assured, I am bringing a helmet with me just in case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It can cause serious injuries to the back, neck, shoulders, and head.
Yeah. There you go.
In Papua New Guinea, 2.5% of trauma admissions were due to being struck by falling coconuts.
See? See? Is that a big enough number to where my concern is justified? 2.5%.
I think so.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. I missed the big announcement. What was it? Someone texts in on the Jim Adler Texas Hammer text line. Seth and I and Spillane and our boss are going to spring training, baby. The end of the month.
So we'll be there. We'll be broadcasting from our Airbnb in the morning and then going to games in the afternoons. We'll probably take in a couple. Where did we go last 2 years ago? It was the Mets, right? We went to a Mets away game.
For the Astros playing the Mets away? Yes. We remember we parked in that. I can't remember if it was the Mets or the Cardinals, but yeah, we went to a couple away games.
It was the Mets because I had some kind of a pastrami sandwich.
There you go.
Supposed to be like a New York deli pastrami sandwich.
Yep, I think you're right.
I confess that like I didn't have a clue what pastrami actually was up until that point in my life.
Was it good?
It was good, yeah.
It was tasty.
Yeah. It was salty meat between bread, yeah.
Can't go wrong with that. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Hey, J.J. Watt, maybe not intentionally, made a great argument for something that Seth Payne wants really, really badly. We'll run that through the Payne and Pendergast ringer here in a second. Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610. Congrats to Brian and Spring. Brian and Spring on his way, along with three friends, to Bailey Zimmerman on March the 8th at the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo. That'll be fun. Looking forward to that. Giving away tickets all day long here on Sports Radio 610. You look like you got something to say, Pope Zaza. You got your hand up.
I do?
Yeah. You had your hand up like this, right? Like that. I read that
I know,
as...
You know, no, I was congratulating myself for making a good point about a ratchet strap that I'm trying to untangle. never, kids, if there's one thing I can recommend, never loan out a ratchet strap. My God, I got a jumbled mess back of It looks like a medieval torture device with this thing right now. I worked on it for 45 minutes last night. I watched a YouTube video, and I had a revelation. I'm going to figure out that ratchet strap.
Okay, so it's a work in progress still. It's not done yet.
Oh, yeah.
You had a big, like, pair of pliers or something in your hand, I saw there.
Yeah.
And he's focused.
I loaned out a ratchet strap, and I'm going to be honest with you. I'll confess something. I've never been 100% confident about ratchet straps. I always feel like it's lucky that I pull it off. Do you know what a ratchet strap is, Sean?
No, come on, Seth. Who are you talking to?
All right, so it's like for tying things down on a trailer. Have you ever seen it?
Okay.
It's like you ratchet it, and it pulls the cable tight or the canvas strap tight. Does that sound familiar?
Well, it's probably what I should have had when I was taking a recliner from Houston into New Orleans in the back of my truck.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. You should have had a couple ratchet straps on there.
You know what I had? Gravity. That's what I had.
It's a simple enough concept. And yet it's also, it feels like an IQ test because there's so many different ways to screw it up. And I always kind of feel like, all right, I think that'll work. I think, yeah, sure. That's fine.
It's a puzzle.
But now that I lent it out and somebody totally just destroyed this thing, they apologized when they gave it back to me. But they were in a hurry, so they couldn't detangle it themselves. Now I've actually had to. I watched a couple YouTube videos to really understand exactly how ratchet straps work, and I feel like I'm gonna end up grateful to that son of a bitch who screwed up my ratchet strap.
Dude, YouTube.
Now I've actually had to really genuinely learn how to use it.
Have you had to? Is there anything that you've gone to YouTube to try to do to get instructions on where it hasn't been there? Like it's incredible how much stuff you have. Like YouTube is basically a gigantic instruction manual for life.
All right, this is the one of all the home trades that you can try to learn how to do and do poorly. Electric stuff is the hardest one to find on YouTube because of all these licensed electricians are terrified of the man and losing their license and everything. People are very hesitant to give electrical advice on YouTube, except for the Eastern Europeans. They will tell you if I find your YouTube channel and you want to give me advice about how to do something that an electrician really should do, if you've got an Eastern European accent, I'm there for it. I'm going to listen.
They don't give a damn about your laws or your lawsuits.
Like, if you're less than man and you need to turn off circuit breaker, then do it, I suppose.
So it's there, but it's just a little harder to find on YouTube.
You got to work
your way through the accent and things like that.
That's
funny. JJ Watt.
You know the other thing? All right. The other thing where people are a little too, they're terrified of this whole cooking food to 165 stuff. It's so hard to find. You don't have to cook your chicken to 165 degrees. As long as you cook it to 145 and keep it there for over 10 minutes, the FDA says that's fine. But everybody's terrified of getting sued for causing salmonella or something.
This is a big controversy right now. The 165 v. 145 debate is a big controversy.
It's not a controversy at all because people are too scared to talk about it. I'm the only one reckless enough to come on and tell you don't have to cook your chicken to 165.
This show is the most courageous show on the radio.
It's that your chicken breast does not have to be as dry and unpalatable as you've been led to believe. Cook it to 145 and then let it sit. The temperature will naturally rise. As long as it's at 145 for 12 minutes or more, you're in the clear.
I'm scared.
You've got succulent, juicy chicken breast.
The text we're going to get tomorrow of people who had to go to the hospital because of Seth's
advice. Hey, that's on them.
It's worked for you. The 145 thing has worked. I don't know what you're...
Consult with the FDA before you do it.
There
because
you
the FDA will tell you that that's fine.
They do? Okay. Okay. Well,
but every single recipe is like, cook it to 165 or you'll die.
Yeah. Are they really?
Lend your ratchet straps out.
Famous last words. Lend your ratchet straps out. So JJ,
I'm gonna ratchet strap down all my chicken breasts this afternoon. Cook it to 145 and call it
a
day.
It's the best. JJ Watt tweeted this at 3:35 p.m. on Monday yesterday. Eagles didn't blitz the Chiefs one time last night, similar to the Bucks against KC back in the 2021 Super Bowl, but it's not as simple as blitz versus no blitz. To win with just a four-man rush, you have to have monsters on the edge and beasts in the middle. Ooh, man. This feels like Game of Thrones. Great edge rushers can be neutralized with no middle push. Dominant interior rushers can be thwarted with no edge threat. The combination of both is what takes away escape lanes, suffocates the pocket, ultimately dominates games, and in some lockdown guys on the back end. Oh, add in some lockdown guys on the back end, linebackers who can cover, and you're living the defensive dream. Seth, how did
you got to do?
How did you translate this tweet from J.J. Watt?
He wants the Texans to draft a defensive tackle.
Bingo.
That's all he's asking there. I'm going to read into it. Which, by the way, he does do that same thing that I apologize for every time. He laid out a real simple plan there. All you have to do is have studs on the edge, studs on the interior, studs in the defensive secondary, and studs at linebacker. After that, it's simple.
Is this J.J. Watt kind of low-key, like sort of bragging about his productivity? Because do you ever remember J.J. having just a monster in the middle on any of the defensive lines that he had?
Other than when he was the monster in the middle?
Yeah, well, I always think of him as being coming off the edge, but yeah, right, like he does both, yeah.
Yeah, well, in his younger days, he was more on the interior more often,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, in the 3-4.
I think that not necessarily, no, but they also, I don't think it was necessarily about him. Yeah. It's just that to be a great defense, you know, it doesn't, you can get your production, especially if you have a coordinator like Wade Phillips. Like,
yeah,
JJ will always credit Wade Phillips for like understanding how to use him appropriately.
Yep.
But I think to be a complete and total headache, you can have a guy that has 20 sacks in a year.
Yeah.
But it doesn't, that guy alone cannot provide the consistent pass rush you need to be able to play zone on the back end and everything else. It's just got to be across the board, at least one guy in the interior and one guy on the edge. I guess with Antonio Smith was way better than I think he got credit for.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess the entire defensive lines weren't necessarily like super, super thick with dominant pass rushers.
They weren't great, but they were good. I'm spitballing when I say this, but if I go back and think through JJ's, I almost said CJ, JJ's three best seasons. It's three seasons he won Defensive Player of the Year. He did have good players with him. You know, they like that 2012 defense, Connor Barwin was on the other side, and they had Antonio Smith in the middle, who was a Pro Bowler in 2012. Antonio Smith was. Like, he made the Pro Bowl. Like, he
yeah,
was
so, yeah, I honestly don't think that was JJ, like, trying to say anything about himself at all or anything. But he knows what it's like when you have good guys next to you and when you don't.
Yeah.
I'll say it just from, like I was a run stuffer back when that was still a thing. I got to play next to Gary Walker for most of my career, who was an awesome defensive tackle. And, man, I remember one year Gary got injured a few games into the season. And the next week we were playing the Bengals. And I was like, oh, this sucks. This is like, you just, why am I getting double teamed so much? This is bogus, man. Yep. It's because I didn't have Gary next to me.
Yeah, yeah. You gotta have good players, man. 2014, I'm trying to think. That was, Will Fork hadn't gotten there yet. That was 2015. But yeah, and Whitney Mercilus was there. Clowney really didn't turn into Clowney until 2016. So you read this. I like this. JJ not telling the Texans to take a defensive tackle, but if you wanted them to take one, you would print this tweet and hand it to Nick Caserio.
Yeah, I think that, like when he says great edge rushers can be neutralized with no middle push and dominant interior rushers can be thwarted with no edge threat. What I saw from the Eagles was that, man, guys, some of those guys had really good games out on the edge, but a lot of that was because they had single blocks a lot too. They were able to just tee off and hit the angles against an offensive tackle with no chip blocks, no slide protection, all of that, because they were worried about Jalen Carter and those other guys on the interior. It's awesome having two dominant edge rushers, but when it comes to just being able to rush four guys and still consistently and constantly put pressure on the quarterback, you got to have somebody on the interior as well.
Yeah,
like
for sure.
A bona fide headache monster of a man.
People are excited that we're going to Florida in a couple weeks, Seth, for Astros spring training. If you missed that, Seth and I are headed down there the last week of February to give you guys the immersive spring training experience. Text message, will you guys be meeting up with fans? I'll actually be there with my family at that time. They don't like you guys, but I do.
Why? Whoa. Okay, bring them. Bring them.
Yes.
And I will win them over. I'm much more likable in person than on the radio.
Should I put a 5-point plan together as to why you and I are likable the same way I campaigned for being the number one roommate. Yeah. People seem to really like
desperate as possible.
Yes, number one.
Yeah, no, we should do, okay, yeah, we'll have to do an ad hoc kind of meet and greet.
Yeah.
And especially just maybe, you know, it's easy to find seats, a place to go out and sit together.
For sure.
At the ballpark and everything. Yeah. Yeah, we'll do that. We'll do that.
Someone's asking if you have a vice. Seth, do you have a vice? If so, crush the knots. Oh, a vice. I thought they meant a vice like a bad habit. Do you have a vice? They're talking about you getting your ratchet thingy untangled.
I was going through the power rankings in my mind.
Number
No, I've got a good plan. Thank you. Thank you. And yes, Irwin. The vice would be helpful. I've got, for the most part, I think I'm going to be able to cure mine just with some needle nose pliers. Yep. So I'm good to go. But yep. Thank you. Thank you for the advice.
Yes. If there's one thing Seth knows, it's succulent, juicy breasts. That's what somebody said on the text page. All right.
We'll have to do, shoot, I wish we were driving to Florida now so I could show off my ratchet strap skills.
You wish we were driving to Florida. Oh, to show
I got on my to-do list, fix Brandy's ratchet strap, which sounds like way sexier than
oh yeah
than what it actually
the
is.
The amount of fun that sounds like versus the amount of fun that it actually is a big yeah, disparity for you.
I'm going to get blood blisters, baby.
And the ratchet strap. Here comes the ratchet strap. All right, those are all texts on the Jim Adler Texas Hammer text line. All right, up next, final segment. We'll talk to the guys on In the Loop. Quick reminder as well to keep listening all week long. The next few weeks, I think this goes till February 23rd, the opportunity to enter each day in the Odyssey Slam Dunk in Vegas contest. When you listen an hour each day, and if you're the winner, if they draw your name, you and three friends are going to be headed to Vegas to stay at Circa Resort and Casino. If you listen for an hour each day, that's your entry. Each and every day between now and the end of the contest. Circa's amazing, the whole place, the sports book, the stadium swim, and you're going to be going during the college basketball championship tournament, plus an extra $20,000 in your pocket to spend while you're in Vegas. Download the app, the Odyssey app, listen for an hour each day, and you'll get your daily entry to the Slam Dunk in Vegas contest. Will Anderson Jr. on his relationship with D'Amico Ryans and CJ Stroud. I thought this was a fun little factoid Will brought up about his relationship with the two of them. We'll get to that coming up next.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Update. It appears as though Seth Payne has untangled the, what's it called again?
It's a ratchet strap. It's in its virgin state now, and now I can set it up the way it's supposed to be set up.
Oh, man.
From anew and never lend it out again. Yes.
Today just got a whole lot better. Turn that up, Ben. Untangle the ratchet strap. Yeah.
It honestly, it wasn't even as much. It was just so knotted up and tied up. It was like trying to undo a shoelace that's overly tightened. The old school shoelaces, like the old cotton ones, it was wet and you had triple knotted it and you just didn't know how the hell to get it apart. So it was more. It turned into. I was very, very frustrated when I started, but then once I let it come to me,
yeah,
and I just kind of let it be almost like a meditative type thing,
right?
Where
right.
Like, I'm just going to keep working at this thing.
Yeah.
So maybe I'll untangle it. Maybe I won't. Maybe someday, but I'm not going to worry about that.
You
and
remained
then ultimately,
calm.
All of a sudden, it was released.
You remained calm the whole time. I was very impressed by that. So good job, Seth. Untangled.
Were you Were you bothered that I was doing it while we were actually conducting a sports radio show?
No, it made it unique. I kind of liked it. Because I was following along with you. At certain points, it was on the screen. But at other points, all I could judge by was how far your arm was moving.
Yeah.
Like, all right, and I know he's not doing certain things. That arm's moving awfully far right there.
No, I felt, you know what? It's probably like knitting. You know, yeah. Women can, you know, when you're in your quilting bee and you're knitting away and you, yes. Like, you can still carry on your conversation.
That's right. That's
about
right.
The events of the day.
Thank you.
And what that scoundrel Jebediah is up to, all that.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. Oh, my God. That's funny. All right. Will Anderson Jr. was on 94.1. I probably should have checked to see what city this was. I just saw him on a YouTube clip with two guys on 94.1.
It's a city with an FM band.
Yeah, an FM banded sports talk radio show. So there you go. Here's Will Anderson. This was interesting. It made me a little jealous, actually. But here is Will Anderson Jr. on his relationship with D'Amico Ryans and C.J. Stroud.
That's why I love Coach Ryan so much, because, you know, you hear all this talk about it's the NFL, coaches can't do this, it's a business. And I was telling my coach, I was like, Coach, he's a college coach. He came from Miami. He came here. And I'm like, you know, we have to move away from that. We all have a common goal, which is the Super Bowl. We have to get away from, I don't know how long I'm going to be here, all that type of talk. Why are you here? What type of legacy are you leaving? Why are you here? How you build relationships with the people in this building? Why are you here? How you pointed to your coach? How you pointed to your player? And that's what I love about this coaching staff so much, because it's not that we have to be kumbaya. It's not that we have to let our kids play with each other. It's about we have one goal, and I want to know why you're doing it. I want to build this relationship with you. And Coach Ryan's had me and CJ over his house this offseason for dinner and whatever like that. And that just gives us a much better relationship off the field for when we on the field, we know, like, I can go to war for this guy. Like, I've been to this guy's house. I know what he's about. We have a relationship. Like, that's my brother. That's my coach. Like, how can we continue to make this thing better?
All right.
You know, the thing about Will is that, for one, obviously you'd want your kids to play with Will's kids someday if he chooses to have them. Or at the very least, Will's like, you know, kind of, it's always a little bit dicey if you hire a male babysitter. I'd be like, okay, Will, yeah, go ahead. Take the kids for 7 weeks. Go ahead. Just go for it. Whatever.
I would have let Will take my kids to Disney World, you know? Like,
Yeah. Please, would you like to adopt them? Because I'm game, all right? I don't know if that's what you were thinking or not, but please.
And you are way more equipped to pay for college. Let me tell you that right now.
So the team building stuff.
Yeah.
This is one of those things, kind of like in talking about culture, that it can be kind of hokey. I think everybody gets flashbacks to a time where they had to do a trust fall with a bunch of their coworkers or something with a Michael Scott type the manager.
Right.
Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. Washington Commanders, there's a really interesting story, I think it's in The Athletic, about the Commanders and the way that they approached their offseason last year with Dan Quinn as their first year head coach, and they did a lot of stuff that sounds kind of like that hokey team building type of stuff.
Top Golf, stuff like that.
Yeah, they went to Top Golf. Yeah. They took a day off to go fishing, like all this other stuff. But it's when it works, it's a really, really good thing. As long as I think the managers are 100% on board with it, and they're not just using it as something to dangle in front of your face later and be like, hey, I treated you right.
Yeah.
You'll work for these wages. I think that D'Amico has that feel for it. And there is that element to, you know, as much as possible, and in professional sports, it's a tough thing sometimes, but on any team ever, the more you can get people on the team to really focus outward and to care about their teammates more than they even care about themselves, that's when the really magical stuff can happen. And it's just hard in professional sports when you've got 50% turnover on your roster in any given year. Like, you've got guys that are you got some guys on the team that are all about the money. You got other guys that are truly all about the football, but you've got, as much as you can pull those guys together, where even the guys who really ultimately care more about money than anything else, if they can also really care about their teammates, you end up getting a genuine cohesive team.
Yeah.
So it's something that I think the really good teams understand that, the really good coaches understand that, and it's just a matter of, all right, what's the best version we can get of that? Because these guys, those guys, I mean, there's so many benefits to it. For one, in sports especially, the more your veteran players are teachers of the game, then they also become extra coaches, you know? And it's always, they're in being good coaches, not guys that are just, you know, complaining about how their teammates aren't doing well. They can see things that the other coaches can't see. The advice is received from a fellow player differently than it's sometimes received from a coach. So you get this, compounding effect where when you got so many guys who care about their teammates and actually genuinely want to help them get better, that it's like having a staff of 50 coaches on the team. But then your willingness to like sacrifice or put out when you're tired or when you feel like you're not at your best, your willingness to play injured, and your willingness to play injured and having a bunch of guys on a team that are willing to play through injuries that might actually, you know, where they're not going to be putting their best performance on the field. There's a self-preservation side of it when you've got an injury. Sometimes you're like, oh, I'm going to suck if I go out there. You got to have guys who feel like, all right, I'm not going to be at my best, but I'm the best option the team has, and I need to be there for these guys. I think that D'Amico's done a good job of getting players, especially in guys that are going to be in leadership roles, who are genuinely wired that way.
Yeah.
And that part is cool.
Well, and Will and CJ both. I mean, they're both guys that are obviously going to be here for a long, long time. You know, like, you're not importing leadership for a year with a guy with Will Anderson. Like, he's going to be here for the next 10 years, probably.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, too, that part he talked about leaving a legacy. And I think he was saying not necessarily leaving a legacy in terms of championships or what have you, but just you can leave a legacy every single day by being a good teammate to somebody or setting a good example. And like I think back to coaches that I had when I was in high school that they left a legacy immediately just by virtue of the lessons that they taught kids.
Yes.
You know, like I feel like I'm a better person in a lot of ways because of some of those people. So like whatever they accomplish in terms of championships or anything, like you just by living a certain way and coaching a certain way or being a certain type of teammate, you kind of leave that legacy of, man, okay, people doing it the right way or living their lives the right way. And that's a really powerful thing. And then that if you do it really well, you get championships out of it
sure.
as well.
Yep.
That part of it, Andy Reid said something in his press conference about the goal first is to teach people. The championships come after that. But it all starts with just teaching the guys, coaching the guys that you have, making them better football players and better men.
I'm curious about this this meal they had, the three of them, CJ and Will and D'Amico. D'Amico, he said, what did he say? D'Amico had us over to his house to have dinner. Yeah. Do you think that D'Amico is a cookout guy? Is he a wife cooks something for the guests, or is he a takeout, like a high level takeout guy?
I think D'Amico, it's always a good choice for a coach to have a cookout because it's more relaxed. Sometimes players have a hard time kind of relaxing in a formal dinner setting. And you get guys, you know, sometimes that never had family. They might have never had dinner with their families or anything. Like, that's kind of a foreign environment. So I feel like as a coach, best to be the cookout guy because of the relaxed atmosphere. But also, as the coach, it's a little bit disarming in a good way. I don't know if disarming is the right word. But I think it gets the defenses down a little bit if the coach is the guy who's in the authority position, but he's being of service to you.
You're right.
When he's doing the cooking.
Servant leader.
Yeah. Like it kind of breaks down some barriers a little
bit. Yeah, in my mind, what I was picturing was definitely D'Amico cooking out in his backyard. CJ and Will bringing lots of free stuff from those HEB commercials there. Like, oh, we'll bring the meat, coach, and the supplies. And then while D'Amico's cooking, I picture CJ tossing the football around with D'Amico's kids and then Will tackling them through the fence afterwards. CJ playing light toss and Will getting a little too intense.
Is D'Amico wearing a big chef hat?
Absolutely.
That's where I had
apron
it.
Apron that says kiss the chef on it? Yes.
Yeah, 100%. Something like that.
Right. Kind of what Lopez does, you know? Like I'll turn to our cookout expert here, John Lopez.
It's not me.
Do you think that D'Amico cooked out had his wife cook a meal or did takeout when he had CJ and Will over at their
cook
house?
Cookout 100%. 1,000%. Which is not a real thing. But yes, cookout 1,000%.
What do you mean it's not a real thing?
And I pictured them playing basketball with his kids.
Oh,
they were playing basketball with his kids.
I actually
basketball? Yeah, okay. And they were dunking on him.
For sure, Will was. Will was.
I go, think CJ has that thing in him where he can't let the kid win.
Yeah.
Like he's just like.
Yes.
He plays horse, but like it's it gets real towards the E. Yeah.
Yeah, he's acting like he's not really trying, but it's down to S, and it's like, hey, here we go.
I got Private Chef. I've got D'Amico and CJ watch a film, and we'll play in video games with the kids.
They
got their noses in the playbook.
Yeah, it's on brand. Yeah, that's how you swarm in the off season.
Right.
Yeah, for sure. How we doing, fellas?
I
pretty
feel
good.
Miserable.
Yeah? Wait, what?
Wait, what? Like, I was like,
you
asked. Go? Yeah,
why is it the rain?
I feel like a total jerk.
Why? Why do you feel like a jerk?
Because every morning at 9:50 a.m.,
yeah,
give or take 30 seconds,
yeah,
I go to the bathroom, for my pre-show,
right,
so to speak. So I'm walking down the hall.
Just looking at Seth's face.
And Melissa Chase is carrying no less than 6 or 8 boxes.
Oh, okay. Melissa Chase, who runs some of our FMs. Yeah. Yeah.
And I walked right by her.
While she was carrying the boxes?
Yeah.
Did you say hi to her?
Yes. I didn't stop. I should have helped her carry
were
the boxes.
They full? What were they? How big were these
they
boxes?
They looked heavy.
And you just didn't stop?
And I got to the bathroom. I was like, well, that was kind of a jerk move. I didn't even think until I already passed.
Have you apologized to her yet?
No. No, I don't.
You know what what's your guys' policy on when you're boarding an airplane and a woman has a big bag?
Always help.
And she's
what's she look like?
Well, I don't know, man. I feel like there's also that whole like, all right, hey, little lady,
yeah.
You obviously can't handle that. Like my first instinct is to help no matter whether it's a man or a woman or anything else like that. Nah, but I worry about offending somebody like that. She's going to think that I'm a jerk for assuming
she can't
do it herself.
Well, I think Melissa thinks I'm a jerk now.
Yeah, probably.
No,
yeah.
I think you're overthinking it, Seth. I think they appreciate it.
No, I don't think you've thought about it enough, Seth. Think more. No, I personally go with like, there's a little bit of a buffer period where I'm like, I'm going to let you see if you can figure this out. And then if it becomes painful for all of us, I'm stepping in.
That's
I'm helping no matter what.
Yeah, that's
how more, I feel. Okay, now what about... Well, there it gets dicey, though, too, is with older men.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like sometimes with an older man... I don't want to make him feel like he's an old man or something by helping him. So it's I end up doing like a half. I compromise and I'm like, they're spotting. I spot for him just in case it goes off the rails. Yeah.
I like it. Just one more.
No. You help the women and then you sit
it's
and
all
watch
you.
The old
it's all,
man.
It's all you. I'm just touching it.
Nothing funnier than an old man struggling to do something physical.
Down. Yeah, but here's the thing, old man. You're old. Like, I'm going to need you to go ahead and come to terms with this and get this bag up so this plane to take off, buddy. We've already been delayed likely anyway, so let's go.
Because of you. Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad we had this conversation.
Yeah. Always.
I'll feel better.
Yeah. And I'm looking forward to your question of the day today as well.
Yes, yes.
You had some good ones lined up.
Do you want to venture an answer real quick?
Which one did we end up choosing?
So the question of the day, which will happen at 10:40 today.
Oh, I remember now.
What would be the signs that you all of a sudden came into a ton of money?
Okay, so people would
look
at Sean and go, whoa, he's usually wearing this, but now he's wearing
or
that.
Whatever.
He's usually driving this.
By the way, Seth, be thinking, because I kind of want to hear your answer.
I don't, like Seth, I'm way more interested in Seth. I would just have a tricked out, really expensive car. Like,
yeah.
And I'm not a huge car person, mostly because I haven't been able to afford the car
that
I want to historically. People are always like, oh, I'm not a real car person. Like, no. Until you can afford one.
Yeah.
I would just want to see what it feels like to drive something that's completely tricked out that has people turning their heads. So that would definitely be mine. Like, he's not driving a radio host's vehicle right now.
Yeah.
What would yours be?
Mine would be, I would look like a guy who's trying really hard not to let anybody know that I had just come into a home.
It's like, how is Seth driving? Dressing worse now.
Seth is homeless.
If you see me, like, just be like, oh, just these bills. Ah, ah.
That's a good
Why are you
answer.
Looking at me like that? I didn't just come into a bunch of money.
I like that answer, actually. Like, the sign that Seth came into a lot of money, complaining about not coming into a lot of money.
Yeah, it's pretty real.
Have you realized the cost of milk nowadays?
Yeah.
eggs. Yeah. I tell you, eggs. Yeah, he already complains about the blueberries all the time. The blueberries are expensive.
Well, that's just absurd.
Yeah. That is fair.
All right, good. 10:40 today on that one.
10:40.
I like it. All right. Seth, antibodies to you, my friend.
And properly functioning ratchet straps to you, Sean.
Thank you. Yeah, they better be properly functioning. I watched you have to untangle one for the last hour. All right, we're done. We are out of time. You're listening to KLT AM, KLT FM HD2, Houston, an Odyssey sports station.